The Lord is in this place this morning. And as I was sitting there reading and just thinking, what is God up to? God, what are you doing this morning? You woke us up this morning by your mercy, your grace. And I thought, God, what is going on? What's going on? And the Lord spoke to me and said, this morning, it's more than a shout and a praise and all that's fine. I believe that. But there's a spiritual awakening moving in this house this morning. God is trying to wake somebody up this morning and help you realize that this is no time to be playing games. God is trying to wake us up to realize that the first time he was your savior, but the judge is coming back, and you must be ready today. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. My heart is heavy this morning because above all else, you got to be saved. I got to be saved. My ultimate goal in life is not to preach a general conference, preach a youth rally, have five or six houses and cars. No, no, no. My ultimate goal in life is to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That should be your ultimate goal, is to hear him say, well done. I'm going to have some good days, Brother Eric. I'm going to have some bad days, but I've got endurance. I know the sun's going to shine, but he that endureth until he is the same shall be saved this morning. To make it this morning. I'm determined. I'm going to make it to see him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So before we do whatever we do, I believe the first order of business is this. I believe I can give an altar call right now. I can give an altar call and I can go out there and all that stuff, but God is reaching. God is reaching. When you woke up this morning, by the mercy of God, because truth be told, none of us could be here this morning. But God saw fit his mercy to wake you up. In spite of your condition this morning, now wait a minute, in spite of the hell that you're fighting with, God saw fit to wake you up this morning to give you one more opportunity. Hoping that when you wake up, that you'll make the right choice to be in the right house at the right moment. And then you say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to open up my heart. I'm going to let you come in and do what you want to do this morning, God. I'm not going to hold nothing back, but God, I'm coming to you with my arms raised, with my heart empty this morning, because I want you to give me something that I cannot find in this world this morning. And God said, if you'll come running, if you'll come emptying out everything on the inside of you this morning, then I'll give you a peace that will surpass all understanding. So would you lift your hands all throughout this house this morning? Doesn't matter who you are. I'm not concerned about how much money you have this morning. I'm not concerned about what your faith. I want you to know that God's in this house. And he's reaching for you this morning. And while you may not know it, there's people beside you who've been praying for you right now. You've got people that you don't even know this morning that have been praying that there will come a day that God will bring you into the house of God. And when you get in his presence, they've been praying, God, I pray that you would get on them and not just sit on them, but you would change them. And that God's here this morning because he's heard the prayers of somebody else who's been praying that God will touch you this morning. Why don't you stretch your hands? Why don't you open up your mouth? And why don't you help this preacher pray? Lord, I pray this morning in this house for every hurt soul this morning, every heavy heart this morning. I pray, God, that you've already been ministering to them right now in their condition. But God, I realize that you just don't want to keep them where they are, but you want to bring them out. And God, that you want to deliver them this morning. I would pray, God, right now that the tears begin to flow, that the conviction will begin to sit in their heart this morning. I pray, God, you'll get them to a place where they say, we've got to get back to the Father's house. Let this be a day of restoration. Let this be a day of drawing. Let this be a day of reconciliation. But above all else, God, we got to been saved this morning. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you begin to move on somebody's heart right now. I pray you begin to touch somebody who's discouraged right now. Touch somebody, God, who's hurting right now. And help them realize that you are the only one who can bring them back to a place of safety this morning. And he's in this house this morning. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 16, quickly, I don't want to belabor the time. Matthew chapter 16, one portion of scripture, verse 18, when you're there, say amen. If not, you can look at the screen and you can cheat. The Bible says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. I'm going to build a church. It's not a church that's going to be built by man's hands. And within that church, it's going to be a powerful church. And the gates of hell may try to attack us. It's going to try to discourage us. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Thank God for the church today. Where would you be without the church? Where would I be without the church? Thank God for the church. I want to preach you this afternoon on just a simple subject. The state of the church. The state of the church. If you're going to help me preach, turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, let them know Jesus loves you. You love them too. And if you mean what you said, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing so we can know who you are this afternoon. The state of the church. Amen. When we take time today, we begin to examine our world. We can say that our world is in a bad shape. Can we say amen this morning? I want you to know that I did not come to preach a political message this morning. I want to just simply preach about the state of the church this morning. Every year when a president is elected, through time, through months, they would gather their facts and their things together. They would begin to deliver to the nation what they call the State of the Union Address. They would begin to give their details of facts and things and plans that they have drawn out for the years for all America to hear about the State of the Union Address. As much as I would love to stand and talk to you a lot about the state of our world, that is not my point this morning. As much as I would love to talk to you about the political things and all of the crime, and no, that is not my point this morning. But I do want to preach you about the state of the church. Yeah, I want to preach you about the condition of the church, amen, that God purchased with his own blood this morning. I don't want to preach about a church that's built by man's hands and this beautiful building, but I want to preach about a specific church this morning. I don't want to preach about 10 denominations, 10 churches, 10 gods. I want to preach about one church who was purchased by one God who purchased his blood, who died for your sins. I want to preach about the state of the church this morning. So when we begin to talk about the state of the church, we must understand first of all who is the leader of the church, who is the specific one who has the plans, who has drawn out the details for his church. I want you to know, amen, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is, amen, the one who is directing this church, amen. I want you to know, friend, doesn't matter what your background is this morning, it doesn't matter what your education is this morning, as long as you're breathing, you are a candidate, amen, to be grafted into God's church. As a matter of fact, let me tell you how great this God is. He just did not die, amen, for the black man, for the white man. He didn't die for the rich, the poor, the alcoholic, or the drug addict, but he died for the sins of the whole wide world. And I want to introduce somebody to the supreme captain of the
church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me introduce you to my King. Let me introduce you to my Savior, who has all power in heaven and earth. He still heals the brokenhearted. His arm still reaches. Amen. He still pulls people out of ditches. He still pulls people off drugs. He still pulls people off bar stools. You can't vote God in and you can't vote him out. He's going to be the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow.
Man, what a great God, Brother Barclay. And the thing about these State of the Union addresses is that when the president makes his entrance to the Oval Office to give his union address, man, they would stand up for days, and they would clap their hands. They would give reverence to the man in the position. Nobody would make a sound. They all had to stand in reverence to the man who had the position. Let me tell you what the Bible says about our God. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Amen. We don't have to apologize for who our God is. We don't have to sit down and explain who our God is. We recognize that he sits up high, but he looks down low, and he knows exactly what you're going through this morning. That's the reason somebody beside you is clapping their hands, because they're giving reverence to the King Eternal this morning. That's why somebody this morning is running around the aisles, because they recognize King Jesus has walked into this tabernacle. That's the reason why somebody is speaking in tongues, because they realize that the healer's in the house. He's not just a president, he's a healer. He's not just a president, he's a king. So we recognize who built this church. So now we got to figure out who did he draft into the church. It was not perfect people, because I realized that the perfect people don't need God. Those who have it all together don't need God. But you're looking this morning at a bunch of people that when you came to God, you were not perfect. Excuse us visitors this morning, excuse us guests, but you're looking at a bunch of ex-drug addicts, a bunch of ex-alcoholics, a bunch of liars and thieves. But we realize that there was a day that we found ourselves at the foot of an old rugged cross, where we received mercy, and the same God who got us up from the pit can put you up today. See, we're by no means perfect people. Don't let the long hair and the nice skirts and the nice ties fool you. Don't let this fool you. There was a day I was an alcoholic. Don't let all this preaching fool you. There was a day I should have been going to hell. But there was a day also that God found me just in the nick of time. I was knocking on death's doorstep, but he showed up right on time. Can I get a witness this morning? I should have been dead 6 feet under, but mercy showed up and grace brought me out. I should be on my way to hell, but thanks be to God who's rich in mercy, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. So he didn't go looking for perfect people to establish his church. You got this guy riding on a horse, and he's going to go kill people. Jesus finds him. He said, wait a minute. Here's one by the name of Saul. He wakes up every day. His job is to crucify Christians. Man, what a job. But Jesus handpicks this man. Why this man, Jesus? Why? Because everyone recognized who Saul was. They realized he persecuted Christians. But I'm going to take the one that everybody saw him as a nobody, and I'm going to turn his life, come on, preaching, to a drug addict. Everyone knows you as a drug addict. But God said, I'm not going to take the drugs away. And that's going to be a preacher. And that's going to be a
See, the thing is, people will recognize you from what you used to be. And the moment you say, well, let's go to church, they're going to say, wait a minute, you go to church? Well, I got to go see this. You ever heard anybody say, I got to go see this. You mean you used to smoke crack and, well, I got to go see this. Those folks are crazy. So they make their way to the church. And they come into the side of breaking bread. And they're sitting around because you invited them to the house of God. And now they're inside of the building where the church has come together. And there's no complaining. And there's no picking and choosing. But we come together making one sound in one church unto one God. And when the people of God come together, there ain't no telling what the Holy Ghost will do. There's no telling what God will do when the church realizes this is not about you. This is not about me. This is not about our preacher. This is not about an evangelist. This is about the glory coming to the house so somebody can be saved. Let me tell you one of the worst mistakes we do as the church. We'll do this big old outreach campaign. We'll have 45 people show up. And we'll take it easy. They show up, we put on our apostolic lazy boys. And we take a back seat and we relax. But we're the church. Is this okay? If you come back tomorrow, we'll preach Casper the Friendly Ghost. But hear me. The worst mistake that we make is this. We're witnesses. Hear me. We're witnesses. And the worst mistake we make is when people come to the house of God, we sit back and relax. Hear me. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't have a clue what the person sitting beside you is going through. You don't have time to act pretty this morning. You know, somebody's fighting hell this morning. And somebody's going back home to a better life. But if there can be a witness, that preacher realizes where God brought me from. And the same God who did it for me can do it for you this morning. That's the reason why we clap our hands. That's the reason why we shout and dance. Because we're the church. We're the body of Christ. And hell cannot stop us. That's the reason why we do what we do. Because that's what the church folks do. So God goes to find the unqualified. He doesn't look for the one with the big PhD degrees. He goes to find the ones who think of themselves as they have nothing to contribute. He goes to find those who think of themselves as less than. And he takes them, but he does not leave them on a bar stool. He doesn't leave the needle in your arm. He doesn't leave you addicted, but he takes you and he takes you to a safe haven. He takes you to a place where you found mercy and grace. He takes you to a place so low that when he gets you to that low point, because truth be told, we're all equal at the foot of the cross. He gets you to a place where you die to that old man. He gets you to a place where you realize that my life does not have to end this way. Drugs doesn't have to be the end of my life. Amen. Alcohol doesn't have to be the end of my life. If you'll put the hand back into Jesus' hand, if you give God the pen, he can continue to write your story. Let me preach to somebody right now that your story is not over. God is still writing your story. God is still writing your story. Your story is not through yet. He's not finished with you. He's just trying to add some pages to the chapter of your life. But you can't do this on your own. So he goes on a hunt. And I'm so glad God saw fit to send a young lady my way. In 1999, I was doing my own thing. Going my own way. But you see, God saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. The thing is, you got to see yourself how God sees you and not how people see you.
Because people see you as failure. They see you as no good alcoholic, but God sees you as a champion. He sees you as a warrior. He sees you as an overcomer. God sees there's something in you, friend, that hell cannot kill. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I wish the church would just rise up in these last days and take our place and realize that hell may come against us. Hell may attack your family, but the sin of the church says we're still here and we're not going to give up and we're not turning back. We're still bringing in sinners. We're still bringing in alcoholics. That's the state of the church. But can I slow it down and tell you that church people go through difficult times? Woo. See, we love the shouting, and I do too. But when you get 50 plus, none of your business ages, you got to slow down a little bit. Take it easy. Take some deep breaths. Because storms are going to show up. I always thought churches, man, we're great people. We don't never have troubles. The Lord was out for a rude awakening. Man, everything's always mountaintop experiences. Until all of a sudden, trials start showing up at your doorstep. All of a sudden, tests start showing up at your doorstep. Let me just tell you, I'm preaching and I feel the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you right now, that's why you've got to love your brothers. Because when tough times come, you got to have some friends who you can depend on. Come on. I may lose some amens right now, because let me tell you what the church does not do. We don't hate each other and we don't run each other down, but we love one another. And when one falls, we pick them up. And when one's hurting, we're going to hurt with them. And when one fight, we're going to... We're preaching, you know, I don't care what they call you, you got to love them. I don't care what you got to love them. Because the church, we are a unified body of believers. About you, but I can't do this by myself. That's right. I've got to have some people who are willing to pray for me. That's right. And not stab me in my back. Amen. So he said, I'm going to build me a church. I'm going to establish me a church. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Acts that when the church was coming, they said, who are these guys? And the Bible says, they said, these are they who've come to turn the world upside down. What are they saying about you? These are they who've come to turn Whiteland upside down. These are they who've come to turn Franklin upside down. What are they saying about you, Mom? There's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something about that woman. I can feel chill bumps. It's the Holy Ghost that's in you, the Christ of God, the hope of glory. I'm preaching to you this morning what the church is. We are people who've been called out of darkness unto his marvelous life. And I've come to tell you that we're not going to stop. And we're not going to put the church in neutral, but we're going to keep on moving beyond the expectations of a sin-sick society. We're going to keep moving and reaching. That's what the church does. So God uses people like this crazy guy here. He uses people, brother here. He uses people like Brother Runyon. Uses people like you to establish his kingdom on the earth. He uses people that he can trust. I honestly believe this. There's people that God can trust with. And I've seen God heal people. But I also had a dear lady tell me a while back, she said, Brother Harper, I've been dealing with cancer for about 8 years. So I automatically go on this, oh God, have mercy. But she said, no, wait a minute, you don't understand. I've got doctors who see me battle chemo, Brother Weir. I've got family members who see me. They don't think I'm going to make it, but God is still good. She said, I realize this, that God has trusted me with sicknesses. I said, why? Because I've got so many unbelievers who don't believe that God can heal. But God, I'm preaching to somebody right now. So while you're going through your sickness, and you may have to go through chemo, you can give God praise right where you are, because you're surrounded by people who realize, and they're going to come to the revelation of the mighty God of
this.
Gotta put you on this billboard so everybody can see what God can do. So God can trust you with things. He can trust you with issues because there are people around you who don't believe that God can. But you have revelation that if God brought you this far, He's got purpose for your life. So He establishes a church with people, Brother Barclay. Not educated, stuttering problems, black, white, bald-headed hair, teeth, no teeth, from Kentucky, from the ends of the earth, all walks of life. Nothing in common. I'm sure none of you folks probably ain't played basketball in your life. We don't. You go deer hunting, we don't have nothing in common. You want to eat crab, crawdad, and all that? We have nothing in common. You want to eat crawfish? We have nothing in common. You want to eat chicken? We got all kinds of things in common. Let the church say amen. Amen. You may not like pink suits. That's okay. You may not. We don't have nothing in common from that aspect. But when it comes to spiritual aspect, we've got everything in common. Because God, who's rich in mercy, reached down to where you was. He found me there. He found you there, and it brought us to a cross. He brought us to a place that we were so low that the only thing we could do is lift up our eyes unto the hills with cometh our help. He brought us to a place so low. He brought us on common ground to establish His church. He just didn't leave us there. He built this altar where things die. But He just didn't leave us there. He said, I've got to separate my church. There has to be some kind of identification. So he said, I'm not going to leave him there. He said, Peter, listen, I'm going to give you these keys. What shall be loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Peter, here, I'm going to give you these keys. You're going to preach on Pentecost, Peter. You're going to preach on that Pentecost. Peter gets up, he preaches. He's the church, he's moving. These men who just crucified Christ. And they said, men and brother, what must we do to be saved? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. These men, the Bible says in Romans, that if they had known who he was, they wouldn't have killed him. So my thinking is, you don't even deserve the right to be saved. Don't even ask me how to be saved. No. But the church don't pick and choose who has the right to be saved. Come on, let me tell you, you don't have the right to pick and choose. I don't care if they're the biggest whoremonger in California. You don't have the right to pick and choose who can be saved. He died for the sins of the whole wide world. You don't have the right to pick and choose who has the right to eternal life. So Peter stands up and he said, okay. He didn't hold back. He wasn't intimidated, Brother Barclay. He didn't sit back and say, well, let me think about this. He stood up with holy boldness, and he said, repent. And he didn't stop. He said, and be baptized. He could have said, and be baptized. And be baptized, son. But he stood up with his feet planted, with his arms, amen, solid as a rock. And he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me preach you about the name. Neither is there another name among heaven whereby man must be saved. Whatsoever you do, a word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've come to preach what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to establish God's church. Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name. If you want to go to heaven, you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. If you want to go to heaven, you got to have his name applied to your life in baptism. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. But Peter didn't stop there. You're probably thinking, Peter, listen, man, what's going on? We've been dunking people all day. He said, no. Because Jesus knew that the church would never succeed in the world fighting the flesh. Jesus knew. He said, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you power because, amen, this flesh is ruling. This flesh will kill people. Amen, this flesh is ruling. So Jesus said, listen, I'm going to give you some power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be a witness. Jesus, what's the initial sign of the Holy Ghost? You shall speak in tongues as the Spirit of God give you utterance. You got water baptism and you got spirit birth. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will speak in tongues 100 times out of 100 times. When the Holy Ghost comes, you will speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is a life changer. It'll save your life. It'll take out things that do not belong. So what is saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If you got envy, get the Holy Ghost. If you got strife, get the Holy Ghost. If you got hatred, get the Holy Ghost. If you're lost, get the Holy Ghost. If you got problems, get the Holy Ghost. If you need saved, get the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching you need to get the Holy Ghost from the top of your hands to the soles of your feet. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Get the Holy Ghost on Monday. Get the Holy Ghost on Tuesday. Get the Holy Ghost on Wednesday. Get the Holy Ghost when the sun goes up. No matter what happens, get the Holy Ghost. You get these people who are acting crazy. These people who are, let me tell you what church folks does. You got 120 up in this upper room. Woo. And there were folks who saw them go in this room. There's people who saw you come to breaking bread this morning. They had the word from the Lord. Go wait and tarry ye until you be endued with power from among high. Go wait. Don't leave. Go wait. Sit in, check in, get yourself some water, sit back and wait for the promise of the Father. They waited. People on the outside thought they were crazy for going to church on Sunday. Thought they were going to church. You're having a revival on Monday. You're crazy. You guys are crazy. You're a bunch of crazy. You're a bunch of fools. You're acting crazy. But they stayed and they tarried and they waited. And all of a sudden, the doors open. Now here's where we get these people acting crazy. It's because they just didn't walk out the same way they came in. They've been waiting, anticipating when it shows up. They just didn't walk out. Now, I sort of question people who say, preacher, I got the real thing. But you walk out of here, oh, calm and collected. Listen, when you get the Holy Ghost, your hair's going to come out of place. Your smile's going to be different. Nobody has to tell me you got the Holy Ghost. I can see by your reaction. There's something deep on the inside that you've never felt before. And you say, I've got to go taste and see that the Lord is still good. And the good news is he gets better every time you come back. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you this. We don't need to get to a place where we can control the Holy Ghost. We need to get to a place where we let the Holy Ghost just have his way. Lord, get on me. Lord, do what you got to do, but get on me. As a matter of fact, get on the preacher. Get on the sound booth. Get on my Lord. No matter what you do, get on us. Let it fall on us. So the church, when it walked out, it went out with a roar. Can I tell you, breaking bread, that they know about you? They know down these hollers, down the street, down by Cracker Barrel, Greenwood, come on, Walmart, Shoney's, you name it. They know about you. The Mexican restaurant at the corner, Circle K gas station, Kroger, they know about you. They're starting to hear. If you can ever get down to breaking bread, if you can ever come see a man, he'll take away the drug addiction. If you can ever step into my church, Brother Weir, there's a God who will change your life. But you got to keep on coming. Oh, yes, we got problems, but this is still the church. Oh, yes, we fight enemies, but this is still the church. You got to keep on coming. Press your way past peer pressure. So he gets these people. He takes this church. He disperses them to go turn the world upside down. Folks, I can tell you this with all confidence and with all assurance. I can compare the coming to the Lord like this. We've already around the third base. You've got that baton. You're headed home. And we're just a couple feet from crossing over to the finish line. You can just about taste it because you know we're so close. You can just about, and there is a hunger. There's a desperation on the church to get as many people in before he shuts the door. Come on, let's all stand. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, you can stand. There's a desperation about us. As much as I love to be your friend, as much as I love to sing, we can eat tacos and whatever, I've got to let somebody know you've got to be saved. If we never eat another meal down here, I would rather forsake a meal down here with you only to get to the other side and sit down at the master's table with you. Had a lady ask me the other day, she said, man, how do you just go like an energizer bunny. You just do this. And she said, man, how much is your dry clean bill? I said, you don't want to know that. She said, how do you just get up and just go? You don't have no consideration. You just get up and go. I said, you know why I do what I do? I don't do this for fame because I don't care if you know my name or not. I do this because there's people like you. There's people like your neighbor. They need to hear that there's a God who loves them. He's coming back and you've got to make it to heaven, ma'am. I don't want to be your best friend. I want to let you know you got to make it. I'm not going to stop until you get to a place where you can obtain mercy. I don't know, you may have some mistakes this morning. You may say, preacher, I can't. Yes, you can. That's a lie from hell. You can live for God today. So what the church does is we do this. As we love people. Let it be said, Brother Harper, when I'm in that casket, I don't care if you remember what I preached or not. But let it be said, Brother Harper, man, he loved people. He didn't hang out with a lot of people. He was an introvert. But boy, he sure loved people. Sister Gail, he sure got in that altar. Man, he sure get out there and cry. Because he just loved people. One thing I remember about that preacher, he reached for my soul one day. There's a guy, when I first got in church, man, when I walked in church, he was giving the altar call. He was preaching. He didn't know me from Adam, but he was looking at the wall. He was talking about slaves, and right at that point, I was ready to cut his neck off. But you know what? The more he kept preaching, I realized something. It was not about the color. His brother said it so eloquent this morning. You know what? People don't serve God. It's a pride thing. You don't know that I got to give up. You don't know. Listen. Let's just be honest with you. If you don't bow down now, it's okay. You're going to do it sooner or later. I would rather bow down on this Sunday morning to get things right than have to bow down later and confess that he's Lord. To heaven, I've got to make it. What does the church do? The church says you got to come see a man who'll wash away your sins. You've got to come see this Jesus. So, Brother Harper, what do we do? What you do is you grab that hand beside you. Because here's what we do is, you got to know that you're not on the island all by yourself. You're not just a castaway by yourself, but you've got some people praying for you. That is by yourself. When you fall, you don't have to reach far because the church has its hand. And we say, you're going to make it. You may have fallen, but the church says, listen, you can get back up. You're thinking about letting those hands down. You're thinking about quitting. The church said, no. I'm gonna get on this side, and we're going to get some rocks in because we're not going to let you fail, and we're not going to let the enemy overtake you. So this afternoon, the church is going to give you an invitation to meet our King. The church is going to give you an invitation to meet the key cornerstone of this church. We're going to give the invitation to meet the one who can take a broken life and put it back together again. We're going to give you an invitation to meet the one who cancer cannot stand in his way. We're going to give you an invitation who will meet the one who can put your world back together. And they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save a people from their sins. Hear me. If you have not repented of your sins, you should have already. Been baptized in Jesus' name. Let me just throw this at you. This won't cost you nothing. Why wait to do it tomorrow when you can do it today? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm the world's worst. I just had a guy text me last night. Hey, you got any date? Yeah, I got this date in August. Don't have no dates in October. I got this date. I got 2 days in December. I'm the world's worst. That's how we are. We're programmed that way. We like to plan ahead, but have we ever stopped to think that none of that's guaranteed? Have we ever stopped to think that if I don't get this thing today, I'm not guaranteed to wake up in the morning? Why put off what you can do today until tomorrow when tomorrow's not guaranteed? But the church, we just keep reaching you, and we keep on loving you, and we keep on caring for you, because that's the state of the church. So this morning, this afternoon, that hand that you got a hold of, here's what I'm going to do. There's people on the sound of my voice, you've never been baptized. Let me tell you something, what you waiting on. What doth hinder you this morning, this afternoon? That's water. What are we waiting on? As people in this house, you never received the Holy Ghost. You don't know if you get the Holy Ghost today. Get this thing right now. This ain't a one-time experience. You get this thing every single day. Preach, I don't believe. That's okay. I can guarantee you this. I had a lady tell me one time, I don't believe that Holy Ghost stuff. I don't believe everybody got it. That's okay. That's fine. I'm not going to knock against you. I said, but could you do me a favor? She said, yeah. I said, do me a favor. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give this altar call. Would you go up there and just lift your hand? I said, no, hold on, listen. You have some people come around because they're crazy. Yeah, yeah. They love you. They're praying for you. But here, I guarantee you that. I can guarantee you this. If you come to this altar and you pour out your heart and you lift your hands, you let that pride down. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Preach, I don't believe that. That's okay. Let's put it to the test. She goes to the altar. She throws her hand that she didn't believe. She throws her hands in here. And all of a sudden, they broke out a little part. I'm thinking, what's going on over here? I went around the front here, the one who didn't believe. Got her hands in the air, tears screaming out her face. Speaking in tongues as a spirit. Come on, somebody. If you don't believe, I dare you to put God to the test. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I double dog dare you to put God to the test. He always keeps his promises. He's a God who never fails. He won't come short. He always finishes what he starts. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an altar call. From the front to the back, north to south, east to west. Listen, you may have to go out in the street. You do what you got to do. But we're just going to let the Lord have his way, okay? Is that all right? How many going to help me? We're just going to let God have his way. Okay. I'm looking for somebody to get the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for somebody to get baptized. Why, preacher? Because that's what the church does. We don't stop. We keep reaching. Yourself an altar in your seat, but no matter what the case may be, we all must agree that we all need his glory right now.